Today, Shir is a Masechta Chulin on Daf Tzadik Vav. We will begin on Daf Tzadik Hamid Beis, two lines from the bottom of the Amud. At the end of the line, three words from the end of the line with the words Amar Rava. Begins the Gemara. Amar Rava said, Rava Mereisha, at first, Hava Minah, I used to say, Simona Adav Mitvias Eina, that having a simon on something is even better than having visual recognition. And what was my basis to say that an identifying mark, a simon, is better than visual recognition? Because if someone presents a simon for a lost article, we would give back that lost article. As Rashi says, the last Rashi on the Amid, we give a aveda back, a lost article, to anyone who produces a simon. However, continues Rashi, v'loy mahadrinin avedita b'tvias eina. We do not give back an aveda to someone who says that I visually recognize that this is my lost article. Elo l'tzurman rabbanan. We only give it back to a Talmud Chacham. So by the mere fact that with a simon we give it back to a non-learned person, to an amoretz, and with tvias ein we do not give it back, it would seem to indicate that a simon, an identifying mark, is a stronger proof than visual recognition. As the Gemara continues, on Tzadik Vav Amud Aleph, V'loy madrina b'tvias eina. We do not give back a lost article to an amoretz with tvias ein. We only give it back with a simon. So that's why Rava thought, in the beginning, that a simon is better than tvias ein. But hashta, that now, dishamatinu, that I heard, lahani shmaitza, to those teachings that we had at the end of yesterday's shir, that with tvias ayin we would give back, we would say that meat that was basher shana salmana ayin, that the person lost contact with the meat, and yet if he has a tvias ayin on it, it's good. Or we would say that something is tcheles and it is not kla ilon, it's not a dye coming from a vegetation, but rather it is from the chalazon fish. And how does the person know that? With tvias ayin. So now that we learned those teachings, amina, I will say, says Rava, that tvias eina adifa, that tvias ayin is better. Now, the Meforshim ask, how do we see that tvias ayin is better? If anything, we see that tvias ayin is equal to a simon. That if a person had a simon on a piece of meat, that it's not dover basher shenis almen ayin, it would work, and tvias ayin, visual recognition, would also work. How do you see it's adifa, that tvias ayin is even better than a simon? So the Mesoras HaShas here brings the Tosis in Brachas, Daf Nun, Amud Aleph, where Tosis says that very often we find that when two things are equal to each other, the Gemara will still use the word adifa, which means better, because we can interpret the word adifa not to mean better, but to mean strong. Amina, I would say, tvias ein adifa, it has an adifus, it has a strength that it is equal to a simon. But in fact, as we continue the Gemara in the next few lines, we will see a number of proofs that tvias ein is in fact stronger than a simon. The question then arises, if in fact we're going to prove that tvias ein is not just as strong as a simon, but in fact it is stronger than a simon, then why is it that we do not return an aveda to an amoretz, and yet we will return an aveda to an amoretz who gives us a simon, an identifying mark? So be'emes Tosfos in the top Tosfos on the Amud here, v'loy madrina b'tvias eina, he asks that he doesn't understand what Rava's initial proof was, that a simon is better than tvias ein. Ask Tosfos, really, I'll tell you that tvias ein is better than a simon. You're asking me a question, if so, why don't you give a aveda back to an amoretz with tvias ein? There, it's for a different reason, because we're worried that there's a chshash meshaker. We're worried that he wants to get this object, really, it's not his. And because he desires to acquire money that is not his, he's suspected of lying. So to a Talmud Chacham who is considered trustworthy, we will believe him when he says, yes, I recognize that this is my lost article. We're not worried that he's lying. We'll give it back. to an amoritz, we're worried about lying, we will not give it back. But that doesn't prove that a simon is a stronger identifying mark than tfiyas ayin. It's for a different reason that we wouldn't give it back to an amoritz. So asks Tysus. The Run tells us that b'emes, this is the havamina and the maskan of the Gemara. We can understand with what Tysus is asking what Rava thought at the beginning and why Rava changed his mind at the end to say that in fact a tfiyas ayin is stronger than a simon. Explains the Run that in the beginning Rava thought that the reason why we give back an aveda with tfiyas ayin only to a talmid chacham and not to an amoretz is because a talmid chacham is more careful before he says yes, I recognize that this is my lost object. He makes sure 100% that he recognizes it, that he's not making any mistakes. He's worried about taking something from someone else that's not his. So if he says, I recognize it, we're sure that he carefully inspected it, and he was sure that it is, in fact, his lost article. We're not so sure by someone who's not as careful as a Talmid Chacham. So it's not because, Rava thought, it's not because it's that the Amoritz may lie, but it's because it's a stronger identification only when a Talmid Chacham uses it and not an Amoritz. If so, that's why Rava thought that a simon is a stronger identification than visual recognition. By a regular person, he's not so careful, and therefore it's not such a good proof that this lost article is his. But in the end, Rava says, once I'm going to show you that tfiyas ayin is really stronger than a simon, so why, in fact, don't we give back an aveda to an amoritz with tfiyas ayin? It must be like Tosfos was asking to begin with, that the reason is because of a chashash meshaker. We're afraid that the amoritz is not telling the truth. We're not afraid that the Talmud Chacham is telling the truth. So really, tfiyas ayin is a stronger identifying method than a simon. It's only we don't trust the amoritz. So learns the Run, the Havamina and the Maskana of the Gemara. And this will answer Tosfos' kasha, because ain't nechanami. Tosfos' question is the fact why Rav at the end agrees that tfiyas ayin is better normally than a simon, except it doesn't work by Aveda because we're afraid that he is lying. And so we find in Rashi, on the third line, the second line of the Rashi, Divrei Masa v'tfiyas eina, umi aveda lo yalfinin, says Rashi, the hosta mishum chibar amaman, chayshin adimu mishaker. There it's because of a desire of money. The amar mar, gezel v'arai, it's nafshi shalotem, misavalem umicham dosen, that stealing and illicit relationships that a person desires, and we're afraid that because of his desire, he's going to say things that are false. He has a chashash mishaker. The Run and the Ritva point out that ein nechanami, where there is no chashash mishaker, there we will believe an amoritz with tfiyas ayin as well. For example, let's say the amoritz says that I recognize that this belongs to my friend. It's not my aved, it doesn't belong to me. But I'm so familiar with my friend's object that I know it belongs to him. So there's no chashash mishaker. He's not trying to get it for himself. Then we will believe even on an amoritz with tfiyas ayin. And this is not like the Rabbeinu Chananel, because Rabbeinu Chananel says that tfiyas ayin only works by a talmid chacham. It never works by an amoritz. According to the Run and the Ritva, tfiyas ayin will work even by an amoritz. And in fact, like the Gemara says, tfiyas ayin is stronger than a simon. And for example, the Ritva says that let's say by an aveda, one person will come with a simon, and one person will come with tfiyas ayin, and where there won't be a chashash mishaker, then ein nechanami, tfiyas ayin will be a stronger proof than a simon. As we're going to learn in the Gemara now, that tfiyas ayin is really stronger than a simon. So it's only when there's a chashash mishaker that he's going to take it away from someone else. For example, if he comes to the Rav an amoritz, according to the Run and the Ritva, and says, I have tfiyas ayin on this meat, that it's my meat. So it's not a question that he's taking it from somebody else. The Rav says, according to what you're saying, you know that this is yours, and now the question is, can you rely on your tfiyas ayin, that you're not eating something that's not kosher? According to what you're telling me, it's your thing. Then I'm telling you, you would be allowed to rely on your own tfiyas ayin. The only time we don't allow tfiyas ayin for an amoritz is when it could jeopardize someone else. Continues the Gemara, the Eloi Teimahachi, which the Gemara means to say, that if you don't say this, meaning here is a proof that not only is tefillah sign equal to a siman, but it's not just a difa that has the strength of a siman, as Tosfos in Brachos Daf Nun says, but it means it is even stronger than a siman. How is a suma permitted to live with his wife? He can't see her. Ubnei Adam and regular people, how are they permitted to their wives Belial at night when they don't see them? Ella b'tefillah sein dekala. It's because they recognize the sound of their voices. So hachinami b'tefillah sein no. Just like over there, they recognize it through voice recognition. So too, by visual recognition, that is an acceptable proof of the validity of what they are saying. Amrav Yitzchak Bereder of Misharsha Teid, I'll bring you another proof. The Ilu also Bey Trey. The Misharsha Shah says it should be here Bey Zyud and then Trey. If two Adam would come, Vamri, and they would say, Plonya, that person, Reuven, the high Simne, the high Simne. He has this and this sign on his body, or he has a tattoo, or he has some identifying mark on his clothing. Katl Nafsha, that person with those demonyms, he killed someone. Like Atlinale, we wouldn't kill Reuven based on that. That testimony doesn't tell us that they know who the murderer is. They just know it by the identifying marks. That's not enough. That's not good enough of a testimony that Reuven killed Shimon. But Ve'ilu Amrei, if they said the two witnesses, Islam Tfiyas Anabegavei Katlinale, but if they say that not only is there a Simon, but in fact, we recognize him. We know who Reuven is. And it was Reuven that we saw who killed Shimon, then Katlinale, based on their testimony that they recognize that this murderer is Reuven, then we Besdin would kill Reuven. So what do we see? We see clearly that Tfiyas Ayin, visual recognition, is even stronger than an identification mark on his body or on his clothing. Amravashi, I'll bring you a practical proof that Tfiyas Ayin is stronger than a Simateda. The Ilu Amrlei Inish Lashukhev, a person would say to his messenger, Kar Yilaplanye, call that person, I want to speak to him, and how will I identify who I want to speak to? The High Simne, the High Simne, I have this and this mark on his body or on his clothing. So then the messenger who doesn't recognize who the Mishaleach, who the person who's sending him wants to speak to, Safik Yadalei, Safik Lo Yadalei, he's in doubt, will I be able to figure out based on these signs who the one who's sending me on my mission wants to speak to? But ve'ilu islay tfiyas ein abigavei. But if the mishaleach sends a messenger and he knows that the messenger is very familiar with the person that he wants to discuss things with, he has visual recognition. He has tfiyas ein ki chazalei yadalei. So then, when he goes and he sees Reuven, he says, "Oh, Reuven, who I know for so many years, my Mishaleach Shimon wants to speak to you." So on a practical level, if you have a Tfiyas Ayin in someone, that's a much stronger identification than having a Simon on the person. The next Mishnah will discuss various halachos concerning the location of the Gid HaNasha. The Isser of Gid HaNasha is based on the Pasuk in Bereshis Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, after the struggle between the Malach, the Sar Shel Esav, and Yaakov, where the Sar Shel Esav knocked out the thigh bone, knocked out the ball of the thigh from the socket of the hip. So the Pasuk states, Al kein lo yoichlu b'nei Yisrael eskid anasha, therefore the b'nei Yisrael will not eat the displaced sinew, referring to the sciatic nerve, asher al kaf hayorech. This Gid HaNasha is on the spoon of the thigh. This refers to the rounded flesh which protrudes and wraps around the top of the thigh bone. And why does Klal Yisrael not eat the Gid HaNasha? Continues the Pasuk. Ki naga b'kaf yerech Yaakov b'Gid HaNasha. Because the Malach touched and dislodged the kaf yerech of Yaakov in the Gid HaNasha. Rashi there on the Pasuk states that the second mention of Kaf Yerech Yaakov refers, as we mentioned before, to the thigh bone, which is covered by the flesh of the Kaf Yerech. The Kaf represents like a spoon, a round receptacle. That's how the meat, the flesh, looks at that location. And what the Malach, the Sar Shel Esav, did was actually knock out the bone. But that's also referred to, says Rashi, as kaf yerech, because the round flesh on top covers the union at that spot of the thigh bone and the hip socket. But the actual gid hanasha, which we state, asher al kaf yerech, that refers to the flesh. And when we refer to the gid hanasha on the flesh of the thigh bone, there's actually four sections nogeya to halacha. The gid hanasha begins from the chut hashadra, from the spinal column. It then goes over the kaf hayarech, which we just explained. It continues down the yerech, down the whole thigh of the animal, and then as it moves towards the regel, the leg, it becomes embedded in the flesh of the thigh and into the leg. Before that, it is on top of the thigh, not in the flesh. Now, these four sections have different halachas, whether they're usser, whether it's mutter, whether it's b'derisa, whether it's rabbanan. Let us go through each section. The part that starts from the spinal column until the kaf hayerech, that, according to all opinions, is 100% permissible. That piece of the gid. That's not called the gid hanasha that the Torah prohibited. The second part, that is on the kaf hayarech, that, according to everybody, is usur midoraisa. By a cow, that is a width of four etzbois, four finger widths. By a se, it's two finger widths. That's usur, according to everybody, midoraisa. The third section, where the gid goes over the thigh, that is usur according to everyone. However, there's a machlokes whether it's usur midraisa or whether it's usur midrabbanan, which we'll see about in the Gemara. The final section that goes beneath and gets embedded into the flesh, there we also have a machlokes. According to Rab Meir, and this Rashi brings down, we learned before in the Tzadik Beis, that you need chatita, you have to dig the gid hanasha not only away from the surface, but you have to dig into the embed in the flesh where the gid is embedded and dig it out. That is midrabbanan. However, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the embedded gid, which is not seen above the surface of the flesh, that is mutter entirely. It's not usur midraisa, it's not usur midrabbanan. And now, let us begin the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Hanoitel Gid Hanasha, if somebody wants to remove the Gid Hanasha, Sarashiyutel Eskuloi, he has to take everything out, which would mean from the four etzbois that's on the Kaf HaYarech, which is the part that's Osir Midaraisa, go down to the next part over the thigh, and even from that which is embedded into the flesh towards the leg, that has to be removed as well. And Rav Meir says that this Stam Mishnah is going according to, Rashi says that this Stam Mishnah is going according to Rav Meir on Daf Tzadik Beis Amid Beis, who says that Chatita Boy, you have to dig and remove the Gid Hanasha that's embedded in the flesh. Rabbi Yehuda, I mean, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. And Rabbi Yehuda says, Kedei L'Kayim Bo Mitzvos Netila. All you have to do is to remove the Gid that is flush with the surface of the meat. Any Gid that is embedded in the meat does not have to be removed midraisa or midrabbanan, it is mutter. That's one machlokes. Ha'oichol migid hanasha kezayis soifik arboim. If he eats a kezayis worth, as we find by other isuri achila, the shear is an olive's worth a kezayis, he gets 40 lashes, means arboim chaser achas, 39 lashes. Ochloi ve'em boi kezayis. Let's say it's a gid hanasha of a small animal, and the entire gid that he eats doesn't have a kezayis in it. So according to our Mishnah, chayiv, he is chayiv midraisa for the skid, even though it's less than a kezayis. In the Gemara, we will see that Rabbi Yehuda Shita is, the last line in the Gemara on this Amid, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, achieba kezayis. Rabbi Yehuda Shita is that a gid by itself that is less than a kezayis is not chayiv. You must have at least a kezayis. So that's a second machloikis concerning gid hanasha. The third machloikis, Ochel mizek kezayis, mizek kezayis. there is a Yidanasha on the right leg and on the left leg. So if he eats a kezayis from each, he's over on two separate Yisurim, Seifik Shmainim. He gets twice Arbom Chaser Achas, twice 39, which the Gemara says, the Mishnah says is Shmainim. That's Arbom, but it really means Arbom Chaser Achas, 40 minus 1, 39. He'll get a total of 78 lashes. That's a sheet of the Tanakam. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Ein Seifik al Arbom. No, he's only chayiv for the right Yidanasha, not for the left Yidanasha. And if he ate both, a kezayis of each, he would only get Arbom, he would only get 39 lashes. Now, Tosfos in Divrei HaMashgal Michlal tells us that according to Rabbi Yehuda Shita is that you're chayiv for the entire gid, meaning the Dalet Etzbois that are on the Kaf HaYarech, and then you're chayiv for the gid that goes further down on the Yarech itself. That's all Osir Midoraisa. And then when it gets embedded into the flesh, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that is mutter completely. According to Tosfos, there is no Durabbanan in the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Either it's Osir totally Midoraisa, or it's mutter. And there is no Gzeir Durabbanan concerning the Gidanusha whatsoever. That's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. The sheet of Rabbi Meir is that the Dalet Etzbois on top of the Kaf HaYarech, that is Osir Midoraisa. The part that's on the bottom, embedded in the flesh, that's Osir Midorabbanan. The middle part, which is, goes over the thigh, in other words, starting after the four Etzbois on the Kaf HaYarech, continuing over the thigh, and before it gets embedded into the flesh, that middle section, that, Tosfos says, according to Rav Meir, is also Osir Midoraisa. Tosfos in Divrei HaMashgal Michlal, the fifth line, says, Kiven de machmor Rav Meir b'chatita, since Rav Meir has a chumra over Rav Yehuda concerning chatita. According to Rav Yehuda, you don't have to dig into the embedded, into the gid which is embedded in the flesh. And Rav Meir holds, you do have to do chatita to get it all out. So loy mistavra de mekel b'deraisa tvemid Rav Yehuda. So if on the middle section, which Rav Yehuda holds on the thigh, that is Osir Midoraisa, since we find Legabe, the gid that's embedded in the flesh, that is Osir according to Rav Meir, even though it's Mutter according to Rav Yehuda, Tosfos says it's not Mistavra to say that the section of gid on top of the thigh after the four Etzbois on top of the Kaf HaYarech, that according to Rav Meir, that should not be Osir Midoraisa, and according to Rav Yehuda, it will be Osir Midoraisa. If Rav Meir is more Machmer Legabe Chatita, then at least he would hold the same as Rav Yehuda concerning the gid on the thigh, that it is Osir Midoraisa. So therefore it will come out according to Tosfos. Although this is not clear in the words of Rav Meir in our Mishnah, but that's, and other Rishonim disagree and say that according to Rav Meir it will only be Osir Midoraisa. But Shitas HaTosfos is that it is, according to Rav Meir, Osir Midoraisa on Kaf HaYarech, Osir Midoraisa on the Yarech itself, the thigh, and then Osir Midoraisa in the leg, and on that part Rav Yehuda disagrees and says it is Mutter. Let us begin the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Bar Piuli, this was a certain person. Havi koi kamer Shmuel, he was standing before Shmuel. The Kamenaker, and he was doing nicker, he was removing the Gid HaNasha Atma. He was taking it out from a piece of the thigh meat. And what was he doing? Havi kagoyim lay. He was only cutting off the gid on the surface. He was not going after the gid, which was embedded in the flesh. Amar lei, so Shmuel said to him, Chus, dig bay, tvei, dig more in it. Go into the flesh, take out what's embedded as well. And hashta loicha zizicha, if I had not seen what you were doing, sefita li isur, you would have fed me isur. So when Bar Piuli heard that, Irsis, he became afraid, nafo sakinu yari, and the sack and the knife fell out from his hand. Amar lei, so Shmuel said to him, loi tirsis, don't be worried. As Rashi says, I'm not choshish that you're a Rasha, you're trying to feed me Isser, or that you're an Amoretz, you don't know what the Halach is. Avada, you're doing what you were taught by your Rebbe. The Oirilach, the one who taught you, Rabbi Yehuda Oirilach, he taught you like Rabbi Yehuda, that what is embedded in the flesh is totally mutter, not like Rabbi Meir, but I, Shmuel, hold like Rabbi Meir, that is Usser, Midrabbanan, that you do have to remove it. Amar Rav Sheshes, so Rav Sheshes said, my Dishoko Bar Piuli, the part that Bar Piuli took away, which was flush with the flesh, and he didn't go into the part that was embedded, that part is d'oraisa l'Rabbi Yehuda. That is what is also according to Rabbi Yehuda min haTorah. So the Gemara deduces Mechlal, the Shire, the Rabbanon Rabbi Yehuda. You're saying that the part he took away was the part that's also according to Rabbi Yehuda min haTorah. That would seem to indicate that the part that he left that was embedded in the flesh, that part of the Gid HaNasha towards the leg, that is Usur according to Rabbi Yehuda min haRabbanon, and that part Bar Piyuli did not take away. If so, I have a tremendous kasha, Ela d'Urilei Keman Arilei. So the person who taught him that you could leave over that which is embedded in the flesh, according to who was he going? Rabbi Meir holds Yenid Chatita, as Rashi brought from Daf Tzadik Beis Amid Beis, where we see clearly that's Rameir Sheet. Now you're telling me that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's also a chiv to dig there mid Rabbanon. So whose sheet is it that it's mutter, that you don't have to take it? Elam Rav Sheshes, that can't be the pshat that Rav Sheshes said that Bar Piyuli took away that which was awesome to rise according to Rabbi Yehuda. Elam Rav Sheshes, we have to change the wording. It's not what Rabbi Yehuda says it's awesome to rise, it's what Rav Meir says it's awesome to rise. Elam Rav Sheshes, my deshoko Bar Piyuli, what Bar Piyuli took to rise, le Rav Meir, the Bach puts in. That is what Rav Meir held as an issur to rise. Umay deshayer de rabban le Rav Meir. That which was left over, that was left over the part that's embedded, that Rav Meir holds as usher mit rabbanon. The e Rav Yehuda, because if it would be going according to Rav Yehuda, fill mit rabbanon shari. It would be mutter according even mit rabbanon. And Tosis explains that this doesn't mean that according to Rabbi Yehuda, whatever was Asmud Rabban has already been removed. But rather, as we explained before, that Rabbi Yehuda holds there is nothing that's Asmud Rabban concerning the Gid HaNasha. Because everything on the Kafa Yarech is Asmud Raisa. Everything on the Yarech itself is Asmud Raisa. Anything that's embedded towards the leg is mutter totally. So that's what Rav Sheshes was trying to say. That according to Rabbi Meir, all that Bar Piyuli took away was Asmud Raisa. He left over what Rav Meir holds is Asur Mid-Rabbanan. But what Rav Yehuda in fact holds, according to the way Tosis explains it, is even Mutter Mid-Rabbanan, because there is nothing concerning the Gid HaNasha that's Asur Mid-Rabbanan. Continues the Gemara to explain the next part of the Mishnah. Oichel Mi Gid HaNasha. If someone eats from the Gid HaNasha, he gets Malkus Arboyim, Amar Shmuel. Now Shmuel goes into the details. What part of the Gid HaNasha is Asur Min HaTorah? Amar Shmuel Lo Asur HaTorah Ela Sha'al Hakaf Bilvad. Shmuel's sheet is that the only thing that's Asur Min HaTorah is only what's on the calf itself. Those four etzbois by a cow, the two etzbois by a sheep that are on the round protruding part of flesh that covers the thigh. The Gid goes on top of the flesh at that point, that round part. That's Asur Min Hatar Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Al Kafa Yarech. It's the Gid that's on the Kafa Yarech. Amar Rav Papa said, Rav Papa Kitanoi. This statement that Shmuel just made, that the only thing that's Asur Min HaTorah is that part of the Gid that's on the Kafa Yarech, but the part of the Gid that's on the Yarech itself, that is above the flesh, that section is not Asur Min HaTorah. That's a Machlokes Tanoim. As we're going to see, as we go through now in a Braisa, a Machlokes between the Tanakama, the Rabbanan, versus Rabbi Yehuda of the Braisa. At the end, we'll see that this Machlokes is dependent on the question that we just raised, how much of the Gid is Asur? Is it only Asur Min HaTorah on the Kafa Yarech, or is it even Asur on the Yarech itself? That we'll see on Amid Beis as we develop the next Machlokes. Amar Rav Papa Ketanoi. We learned in the Braisa, Ochlei ve'ein bo kezayis chayiv. If he ate, this really we learned in our Mishnah. But what the Braisa is going to do is tell us that Rabbi Yehuda argues on the Tana in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, we learned that if you eat a kezayis, you get malchus. But what happens if you ate a gid which was small, from a small animal? The whole gid was less than a kezayis. So the Tana Kama says, Ochlei ve'ein bo kezayis chayiv. You're still chayiv. Rabbi Yehuda, Imer, Ad, Shehei bo kezayis. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, which we don't have in our Mishnah. We just found it here in the Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says, the minimum amount to be oivron Gid HaNasha is eating a kezayis. If it's too small that it doesn't have a kezayis, you're not oivron. Ad, Shehei bo kezayis. And now the Gemara goes into this machlokes. My time is the Rabbanan. What is the reason of the Rabbanan? The Gemara answers, Beriyah b'fnei atzmi, because it is a beriyah. If you have a small unit of Isser, of the Gid HaNasha, you don't need a kezayis. Your oiver, because it's a unit of Isser in itself. And we find in the Tosfos brings down in the Gemara Masechta Makis on Daf Yud Zayin Yudzayin Amid Aleph, that that a person who eats an ant, a namola, which is certainly less than a kezias, but it is considered a beria. It's a unit of Isser. And Tosfos explains why here did the Torah forbid something which normally the shear is of achil of kezias. And the answer is that because since the Torah told you that this namola is forbidden, or in our case, the gid is, hanasha is forbidden, it's as if, says Tosfos, that the Torah was explaining to you, and this is in the Tosfos Divrei Maskil, my taima, the bottom Tosfos on the Amid, in the third line, v'yesh loimer, dahayna taima dahani, d'chi om rachmano le'soichel gid, le'soichel oif tome, v'chein be'ever menachai, ki'ilu pirish, ben godel, ben kotten, de'kula mikri gid, v'oif u'bavach yushlaim. If you have a whole unit of Isser, whether it's big or small, the Torah, by the mere fact that the Torah is telling you it's prohibited, it's as if the Torah was saying you don't need a kezias. The berry alone is forbidden, even if it's less than a kezias, as long as it's a whole thing. And even according to the sheet of Shmuel that we just learned, that the Torah only asked the four etzbois, or the two etzbois of a sheep, of the gid, that's on top of the kafayerech, so that's also, that's a unit. Even though there it's not an ant, it's not a beria in the sense of a small little insect, but it's a beria in the sense that this is the unit of Isser that the Torah forbid. The only question that Tosfos asks is from the Gemara in Makkos Daf Yud Gimel, where the Chachamim there say that you're only over on beria if it's something that yesh boi neshama. Beria neshama chashiva, Tosfos brings down. So here, by the gid, there's no beria. Bishlema by a namola, it has a neshama. It's a living thing, so therefore we can call it a barrier. But how could you call the gid a barrier? So Tosfos says that when the Gemara there in Makkos says this statement, that according to Rabbanan, a barrier is something that has an neshama, that's only in the Shakla Vatarya, in the back and forth of the Gemara at that point. But lahalacha, it's not true. You don't, as long as it's a unit of Isser, it does not have to have an neshama. However, the Rush disagrees. The Rush says, yes, it does have to have an neshama. However, it's enough if the gid came from an animal that originally was alive and had a neshama. It's not necessary that at the point when it's consumed, that it's still living at that point. It doesn't have to be a live namola, that a live insect that he's eating. If this at one time was part of a body that had an neshama, that's called a beria of an neshama. So this is the machlokes here between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. Tanakhama holds, since it's a beria, you don't need kezias. As we turn to Daf, Tzadik Vav Amid Beis of Rabbi Yehuda, Achilik Sivbei. It says in the Pasuk, Al Kein Lo Yoichlu B'nei Yisrael Sgeir Anasha. It used the word Achila. And Achila, as Rashi explains, Achila is always associated with a kezias. And therefore, no matter what, even if it's a beria, you still will require, by the Gid Anasha, you still will require a kezias. V'rabbanan. What did Rabbanan do with the word achila, which is written by Gid Anasha? Hahi, I need that achila for a different lesson. Dechi ispe arba v'chamisha zesim. If this was a big animal, and in fact the Gid Anasha had four or five olives worth. V'ochel chad kezias, and he only ate a part, he only ate one kezias, mechayev. As long as you're eating a minimum share of a kezias, you're chayev, even though there were four or five, one kezias is enough. So I don't have achila to teach me you need a kezias and less than a kezias. If it's a beria, you would not be chayev. No, a beria of less than a kezias, according to Rabbanu, you would be chayev. Why do we have the word achila? That if you only ate a kezias from a larger gid, which had four or five kezias, you would still be chayev. V'Rabbi Yehuda. How does Rabbi Yehuda know this then? He learns it. May I share? Al kaf hayerech nafka. Because Rabbi Yehuda holds that the yerech goes down over the whole thigh. And yet the Torah said that you're chayev just for eating that which is on the kaf hayerech. So he learns that that is teaching me that I only have to eat a part of it. The truth is, even if I ate the part that's on the thigh, the Torah took one part of the gid, the part that's on the kaf yerech, and said that that's enough if you ate it. So the limit of one kezias from four or five kezaisim, I don't use a contributor from achila, I use it from kaf yerech. So I have leftover achila to teach me that I must always have achila of a kezias, and a barrier with less than a kezias would not be chayv. V'rabbanan, what do they use kaf hayarech for? Ha'hum boyle, that we need for something else. Look at Shmuel. That's what we need. Here comes the machloikis, which Rapapa said, ketanoi. It's a machloikis tanoim. Because here we find that the Rabban, in fact, hold like Shmuel, Damer Shmuel, like Asra Tari, Asha al kaf hayarech. What's chayv by Gid Anasha? Only what's on the kaf hayarech bovat. The rest of the thigh, according to Shmuel, and according to the Rabbanon, the Tanakhama of the Brisa, which we quoted at the bottom of Amud Aleph, where Rabbi Yehuda disagrees concerning burial, less than the Kazayas, the Rabbanon hold that you're chayav for burial, less than the Kazayas. The word Achila is for one Kazayas out of 4 to 5. Rabbi Yehuda learns that from Al-Kafa Yarech. The Rabbanon say, no, Al-Kafa Yarech teaches me that that's the only part of the Gid HaNasha that is prohibited, like Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda, HaYarech Siv, the Kula Yarech. It says HaYarech, which means the whole Yarech. It's teaching you that the word HaYarech means it's the entire thigh. The Rabbanon, what do they use? HaYarech, because they don't hold that the whole Gid is also on the entire Yarech. Hahu, the Pasha Lissur B'Kula Yarech, that is telling you which of the Gidim is the sciatic nerve which is Chayiv and Gid HaNasha. That's the one where it spreads out over the whole Yarech. And that's what we call the Gid HaPnimi, the inner sinew. And not the outer one. Lafuke chitzin deloi, with the exclusion of the outer one. The outer one is not aser midoraisa. The outer one in chalami is aser midorabbanan, but it's not aser midoraisa. There is two different kabbalos as far as what is considered the outer gid hachitzin. The minig Ashkenaz is that this refers to the femoral nerve, where that gid comes in the middle of the thigh. According to the Minhag Teiman, the Gid HaChitzoin is the peroneal nerve, and that is a Gid which comes only at the bottom of the Yarech. The only one that covers the thigh from top, middle, and bottom totally, that's the Gid HaPnimi, the sciatic nerve. That is the one that's Osir Midoraisa. The outer one, with the two different Kabbalahs of Minhag Ashkenaz and Minhag Teiman, that is not Osir Midoraisa, that's only Osir Midorabbanan. But, Ulo Oilam, Sha'al HaKaf, how much of it is Osir? Only that which is on the Kaf. So now, Tosis says the Lashon here of the Rabbanan is a little difficult, because it says, Hahu, the Pasha Isur Bekula Yerech, that the Isur went on the whole Yerech. You're just telling me, according to the Rabbanan, that the Gid HaNasha is only the part that's on the Kaf HaYerech. So what does it mean that the Isser went on the whole Yarech? According to Rabbanan, it didn't go. It's like Shmuel. Shmuel says it didn't go, the Isser, through the whole thing. So Tosfos in Divrei Maskil de Pashit, the second Tosfos on the Amud, says that there's a different Girsa of Rabbeinu Gershom, the Moshech B'Kul Yarech. The Gid, which is prohibited, this stretches over the entire thigh. It doesn't come in the middle of the thigh. It doesn't come in the bottom of the thigh, like the Gid Achitzin. It comes from the top, through the middle, over the middle, and to the bottom. And the entire thigh is covered with this Gid. That Tais says, and if you do have the Girsa like we have it in our Gemara, the Pashat Yisur B'Kul Yarech, it means that that Gid, which the only the part of the Gid which is on the Kaf HaYarech, is Asim Adaraisa, that prohibited Gid goes over the entire Yarech, over the entire thigh. But Ein Echanami, which part of the Gid is prohibited? It's only the part that's on Kaf HaYarech. So this is a way we could, b'doichik, explain these words, although the Girsa Rabbeinu Gershom makes it smoother that the Isser is only on Kaf HaYarech, but the Gid is Moshach, not the Isser is Moshach, the Gid is Moshach over the entire thigh. Ask the Gemara of a high Kaf and Boil Lamute, Oif, the Lesley Kaf. This Kaf we need for a different reason. Not to teach you that it's the Kaf, the Gid HaPnimi and not the Gid HaChitzoin, as Rabbanan learned, but rather to teach you that by an Oif there is no Gid HaNasha, because it doesn't have a Kaf HaYarech. So the Gemara says, on that, Trey Kaf Ksivi. It's written twice in the Pasuk Kaf, because it says, Al Kim Lo Yarech B'nei Yisrael, Gid HaNasha, Shal Kaf HaYarech. That's one time, out of Yom HaZeh. And then it repeats, Ki Naga B'Kaf Yarech Yaakov B'Gid HaNasha. Says Kaf twice, so one Kaf is to tell me that it's only the Pnimi and not the Chitzin. The other Kaf is to tell me that it doesn't apply by a knife, because a knife doesn't have a Kaf, and therefore there's no Gid HaNasha by an Oif. So it comes out that the Rabbanon on Amud Aleph, who said that a Beria, a small one, that has less than a Kazayas, is Chayiv, hold, according to the Shaka Batar of the Gemara, that the Isser is like Shmuel, that it's only the Gid HaNasha that's on the Kaf that's Asur Midoraisa. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, who says that a barrier that's less than a Kazayas, you're not Chayiv, you must have a minimum of a Kazayas, his sheet that comes out is that the entire yarech, not just the kafa yarech, the entire thigh is usur. And on that, Tosis and Divrei Masel Mechlal on Amud Aleph tells us that Rav Meir is going to hold, like Rav Yehuda, in this point, that it's not only the gid that's on the kafa yarech that's usur midaraisa, but even the gid that's on the yarech that is usur midaraisa. Their whole machlokes is concerning chatita, the gid that's embedded inside the basar, whether you have to dig after that or not. Rav Yehuda says no, it's mutter. Rav Meir says that it's usur midarabanan, you have to remove it midarabanan. So it would come out, according to Tosis, that Rav Meir in our Mishnah does not hold like the shita that's brought down in our same Mishnah, that ochloi ve'em b'kazai is chayiv. That's the shita in our Mishnah, which is parallel to the Tanakama of the Brisa on which Rabbi Yehuda argues at the bottom of Tzadik Vav Amud Aleph. So that we just figured out that that shita that holds a bari is chayiv, even though there's no kazayis, holds like Shmuel that it's only asur midaraisa what is on the kaf itself, the four etzbois, and not what's on the thigh. And Tosis is saying that Rav Meir holds like Rabbi Yehuda in this prat, that what's on the thigh is also asur midaraisa. So it come out that Rav Meir does not hold like the Tana that is listed further in the Mishnah. It's also a Stam Mishnah. And on that prat, Rav Meir at the beginning of the Mishnah would not hold like that Shita, which is the Shita of the Tanakam in the Brisa, that you're chayav for Beria, even though it's less than the Kazayas, which means that he holds that it's only the Gid on the Kaf, which is Usur. Rav Meir holds like Rav Yehuda that the whole Yarech, not only the Kaf, is Usur Minat Torah. The next Mishnah and the next four Dafim of Gemara concern Hilchas Taruvis. In order for a person to get a proper understanding of Hilchas Taruvis, they have to learn these next four daf, which is the Ikr Sugya in all of Shas concerning a mixture of Treif and Kosher together. They would have to learn these four dafim with all the Rashis and Tosis and all the Rishonim and continue into Yoredeya and learn the Meforshim on Shulchan Aruch to gain a proper understanding of all of Hilchas Taruvis. We will mainly focus on Shitas Rashi throughout the Sugya, and sometimes we will speak out other Shitas of the Rishonim as well. Begins the Mishnah. Yerech shenizbashu ba gid anasha. If somebody did not remove the gid anasha, and he cooked the thigh together with the gid anasha. So the Mishnah says, im yesh bo benois and tam, harei zu asura. If it has the taste of the gid in the flesh, there was enough taste from the gid going into the thigh, so then the thigh has absorbed the taste from the gid, then the thigh itself becomes prohibited. The question that Tosis in Divrei Masel Miyesh Ba asks, as well as the other Rishonim, what happened to everything else that's in the pot? The soup, other pieces of permitted meat. We are of the understanding that if somebody cooks something, then the Isser spreads out evenly throughout everything that's within that pot. So you're telling me that the thigh would become prohibited if it absorbed the taste from the gid. But why don't you look at everything that's in the pot? And therefore, the thigh should only be usur if the gid was so powerful that it was able, the ratio of gid, and we'll soon see exactly what the ratio has to be, the ratio of gid to everything else in the pot was so powerful that everything was affected by the taste of the gid, then the thigh would be usur. But if everything together could combine to dilute the taste of the gid, and now each thing in the pot does not have any taste of the gid, then everything should be mutter, including the thigh. So why is it tolyam yesh ba, which would seem to indicate if the thigh has nesinas tam, it has absorbed taste from the gid, it becomes usur. Now, one could say, perhaps it means on the gid, that the gid is giving him, yesh ba refers to the gid. If the gid is so powerful that it can emit a taste which is absorbed, then it becomes usur. And then, enichanami, everything would become usur if the gid has so much taste that it is emitting. But then it should say boy, masculine, because gid is masculine. So, enichanami, the shinui neschois brings down the duke seifrim, in Mishnayis, the Shinin Ischayis says that he has the Dikei Seifrim has the Gears Yesh Boy, and it refers to the Gid Anasha. If the Gid Anasha is so powerful that it can give time to everything else in the pot, then the thigh is usher, everything else is usher, Benesinas Tam. However, Tosfos wants to suggest, based on Rashi, on Daf Kuf Ches Amud Aleph, that Rashi Shita is that if the thigh is not completely absorbed, it's not beneath the surface of the soup, but some of the thigh is sticking out of the pot, then it's considered all by itself. We don't add together everything else that's in the pot. That sheet is Rashi. So then we could say, im yesh ba, if the thigh itself received the tam. Or there's another sheet that says that if it's an isser davik, for example here, davik means that the isser of the gid hanasha is attached to the yarech. It's attached to the thigh. It's not two separate pieces in the same pot. But the gid is part and parcel of the thigh. In that case, by an isser davik, as it's called, again, it itself we wouldn't connect everything else that's in the pot to find out whether there's an asinus tam or not. We would look at two things. We would look at the gid, and we would look at the yarech. However, Tosfos disagrees, and he says that even by an isser davuk, even if it's not completely absorbed, even if it's not below the surface of the soup, if it's standing outside of the soup, in all of these cases, we are mitzarif everything else that's in the pot together. And Tosfos says, Ein Echanami, even though it's a shtickle doichik, Tosfos says, Im yesh ba, doesn't just refer to the thigh, but Ein Echanami, we will be mitzarif. We'll take into consideration everything else, all the vegetables and meat and everything else, the liquid, the soup, everything else that's in the pot. And if the gid, the ratio is such that it's able to give a taste in everything, then everything else will become usser. If everything combined together with the yarech together does not allow the gid to impart taste, then everything will be mutter. That's how Tosfos says is the pshat im yesh ba b'noisen tam. Harezu usur. Now ask the Gemara, ketzim sharnisa. How do we actually figure this out, what the ratio is that would enable the gid to impart taste, let's go with Tosfos Shita, in everything that's in the pot. So the Mishnah says, Kibasur Belefis. We have, as Rashi tells us, Allah L'Moshe Masinei, that tells us that the gid, we make an experiment and we say, this amount of gid, if we had meat equal to this gid, and the yarech, the thigh, we substitute it with a turnip, with lefis. And this experiment will only work, Rashi says, with this particular vegetable, because if you have some other vegetable, like cabbage or leek, the ratio may be smaller or larger. This experiment works only with turnips. So if I had an equivalent amount of basar to equal the git, and I had an equivalent amount of turnips, lefis, to equal the yarech, and I would be able to taste the basar in the lefes, then I would know that I would be able to taste the gid in the yarech, and then it would, in fact, be prohibited to eat the yarech. So this is my experiment. Why do I need this experiment? Why can't I just taste the yarech? The answer is because if there is gid, taste of gid in the yarech, I'm not allowed to taste it. I'm tasting treif. So therefore, I have to make an experiment. The question is, there's another way we could taste it, and that is by we find the Gemara Kfela, a chef, an expert, who wouldn't want to denigrate his reputation as being a superior chef. So why can't he, a goy, he should taste it for us? So perhaps the Mishnah is speaking, there is no goy, and therefore we do the test with the meat and the turnips. Or because gid with yarech could be considered, the Miri tells us, min b'mino, it has the same taste. You cannot use a kfela if there you can't tell the difference between the gid and the thigh. It all has the same taste. And therefore, we're going to have to make this experiment with the basar and the lefis. Now, actually, Tosfos, further on Daf Tzadik Zayin Amud Beis tells us that this test of Basar and Lefes is actually what we know of the concept of Bittul B'Shishim, that you will taste something if the proportion is not 1 in 60. If it's less than 1 in 60, then you will taste. If it's 1 in 60 or more, then the taste is diluted and you will not be able to taste it. And later on, the Rabbanan, in fact, codified and made away with this experiment with the Basar and the Lefes, and they just said, see if the amount of Gid, the ratio of Gid to Yarech, or any other Isser with Heter, is 1 in 60, then you know that it's Batel. If it's not 1 in 60, then you have a problem. Continues the Mishnah. Keitz Misharon Isa, Kibasar B'Lefes. Now, Gid HaNasha Shenis Bashal Imagidim. What happens if you cook the Gid HaNasha with other Gidim, which were kosher? So, Bizmancha Makiroi, if you know clearly which one is the Gid HaNasha, so all you do is you remove the Gid HaNasha, and then whatever is left, now you make it Benois and Tom. You see whether there's 60 or not. Here the Mishnah goes away from the experiment. Here the experiment is done away with. It could be that the experiment is only by halach ma'aseh v'sin, perhaps it's only by the gid with the yarech itself. Here the Mishnah goes into what later the Rabbanu would codify by all cases of bittul b'shishim, that you have to see whether you have nice and tam or not. Gid anasha is bashul magidim is mancher makiroi v'nois and tam v'imlav. And if you, what does v'imlav mean? If you don't recognize the gid anasha, then kulon asurin. Then all the gidim are asur, not because it absorbed taste from the gid anasha, but because perhaps the one that you're eating now is the gid anasha. You don't recognize which one's the gid anasha. So on each one, I can't eat it because maybe it's the gid anasha. The Gemara later will ask on this, why should they all be usher? We have a rule. When you have yavish v'yavish, dried things get mixed together, there's a din of bittul b'roiv. If you have two against one, two of heter and one of isser, so we say that you can eat them because we say that the isser became bittul in the roiv of heter. Why don't you say that here? And the Gemara is going to answer, because here we're speaking about a gid, which we learned on Amid Aleph, it has a din of a beria, and beria filled with elef loy batel, even in 1,000 it does not come batel. So if you recognize it, you remove it. And then all you're worried about is the taste, and then you have to measure 1 in 60. Whereas if you don't recognize it, then they're all the gidim are usher, v'haraitev, and the soup, the liquid part of this, benais and tam. There the question is not which one is usher, because it's not the soup that's usher, it's the gid that's usher. Then the question is there enough of a ratio to give isser into the soup, or was the tam bottle in shishim? V'chein so to chaticha shal nevela, v'chein chaticha shal dag tami. The same will be if you cook together a piece of nevela with other pieces, which were kosher, and the same a piece of a forbidden fish, shenis bashim chatichais, with other pieces. So the same rule applies as we learned before. Bizman shemakiran, if you recognize the piece that was prohibited, so then you remove it, and then you just have to figure out if there was benois and tam. Did the iser give tam, emit tam, so that it was absorbed by the heter, and then it would become usher because it has iser in it? If you didn't have 1 in 60, that's what would happen. Vim lav, if you don't recognize the piece of tamei fish or the nevela, so on each piece that you're going to pick up now, this might be the nevela, this might be the tamei fish. So then, kulan asurim, surais, they're all asur. V'haraitev, by raitev, there the question is not which one is it, but there the question is, did it absorb taste or not? So there always, it'll be benois and tam, it'll depend whether it had 60 against it, then it'll be mutter. If it had less than 60, then it would be asur. And again, the Gemara is going to ask, why don't we say, by yavish be yavish, when I don't recognize which one is the dag tamei or which one is the nevela, why don't I say bittul b'roiv? The Gemara is going to say, it's speaking about a chaticha haruya l'schabed, a very chash of a piece of meat or a piece of fish, and we have a rule, just like beria is a filo be'alfoy batel, even in 1,000 doesn't become batel, a chaticha haruya l'schabed, a chaticha that's very chash of, that one would honor someone, a guest, with it, that also is not batel, and therefore you can't say bittul b'roiv here, so if you're not makar which one it is, they all would be usher, because maybe the one that you're eating is the one that is forbidden.